Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim ma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Sadaqallahul azim. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we continue our discussion on the brief biography of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh, who is known as Imam Rabbani. And we had already commenced two majlises regarding those important related incidents with regard to his akhlaq, the manner in which he dealt with people, his simplicity, his adherence to sunnah, and various important things were discussed. We are not going to go into those details again, but just to recap, and mashallah, Muhammad Jarud had just prepared this, made it easy for me, may Allah Ta'ala accept his khidmat. The main points, we can just read through this quickly again, that Maulana was born in Gangoh, therefore we say Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh, in 1244 AH. And we describe his lineage going right to Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, how he studied in the beginning, and his main teacher later on became Mawlana Mamluk Ali rahmatullahi alayhi himself, Mawlana Qasim Nanautwi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the founder of Darul Deoband. Both were the friends and colleagues, and they both studied under Mawlana Mamluk Ali rahmatullahi alayhi. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very engrossed in his studies, to such an extent that he would not eat for several hours, in fact sometimes for the entire day. And he also gained knowledge from the final lamp of the Waliullah family. Now Waliullah family, we're talking about Shah Waliullah Rahmatullahi Ali, who were known for their knowledge, especially in the field of hadith. And his ustad was Shah Abdul Ghani Muhaddith Dihlawi Rahmatullahi Ali. Then he gets married later on to his cousin. And after he got married, he memorized the Qur'an, became Hafiz of the Qur'an. He also had learned Hikmat, and he became a Hakim. And he treated one of his mother's aunt. And at a very young age, they saw how intelligent he was. And he even excelled in Hikmat. As far as Bayat is concerned, we know he took Bayat to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi Alayh. And he spent 42 days in his khanka, and how Haji Sahib Rahmatullah tested him to see whether he had annihilated himself or not. The incident about the roti, that Haji Sahib, in the presence of his peer bais, Hafiz Zamin Shah Rahmatullah Ali, Hafiz Zamin Shahid Rahmatullah Ali, and another person, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, just gives Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali, upon the insistence of the others that feed him also, he's your khadim. So he said, take this. You don't even deserve this. But Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali did not pull up his face. He very, very politely accepted it, and he thanked Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi Ali for this. He said, I don't even deserve this much. And on that, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi Ali saw that this now, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali's nafs was completely annihilated, and he not only, he then gave him khilafat. He made him his khalifa. In fact, he's mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, Haji Imdadullah Rahman said, if Allah Ta'ala has asked me, Haji Imdad, O Imdadullah, O Imdadullah, what have you brought? He would say, I brought Mawlana Qasim Nanotri and Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah. So he had such i'timad on these two students and disciples of his. Then we discussed also how he revived the khanka of Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah, who lived 300 years before them. And how he revived that khanka. As far as his ibadat was concerned, 20 rakats of awabin namaz. After fard of maghrib, we read 2 sunnat and barely 2 nafil, and we already dashing out. He would read 20 rakats of awabin. So imagine his tahajjud salat. Regarding his tahajjud, 2 o'clock in the morning he would wake up. And his tahajjud would last for approximately 3 hours. He was an imam of fiqh in his time. And therefore people would even regard him as the Abu Hanifa of that time. He produced great personalities. Amongst his students was Sheikh ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. We mentioned about him. Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharunpuri Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Maddi Rahmatullah, whose biography we discussed in about 6 majlises. These were all his students. And very famous is his Fatawa Rashidiyya. We mentioned how particular he was following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every little aspect, he didn't regard it to be small and insignificant, absolutely important in his life. Coming to the masjid, leaving the masjid, putting in the right foot first. So his character was that of, he tried to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beautiful sunnah. And this is what all of us need to inculcate in our lives. And that is why we're discussing all these incidents of these pious elders who did not pass away very long ago. They were such that either our asatiza or their asatiza were students of these people. Even in our transmission, chain of transmission of hadith, then these people's name also come in there. And he always exhibited the same amount of attention and interest to every student, regardless of their nature. He never became angry with any student or khadim, and we find he would try to always make sure that his khadims are always living with muhabbat. We had mentioned also that a particular alim would write to him nasty letters and swear and vulgar abuse of language. And then the muridin became very upset. Hazrat, why don't you reply? He said, if I'm going to reply, all the time taken in that, I'm not going to change that person's view. Rather, we spend that time profitably in making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when he used to visit some villages in India, the excitement the people had, not only the Muslims, even the non-Muslims will await his arrival. We mentioned the other week about an elderly lady sweeping the streets. Somebody asked her, what are you doing? He said, don't you know Maulana is coming today? Maulana referring to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi. And every person desired that he must come to their house. Women folk want to take bayat. They all insisting that they must come for a little while to their home. And then his khadim became upset because it was giving Hazrat Taklif. Remember we mentioned that he hurt his back in the process to try and please every person. But when Maulana saw that, then immediately he reprimanded the khadim, and he reminded him of an incident where one elderly woman who had come to a buzurg, and he could not see to her needs, and she said, Ya Allah, I tried my level best to get my connection to you, and this person is not prepared to see me. When he heard of that, he searched for that lady until he finally made her bayat, or he saw to her needs. As far as his tolerance for children was concerned, we explained very in detail that he could not endure any child crying. And if any person hit his child, he would reprimand that person. His own grandson was hit by his son. Immediately he reprimanded his son. Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali, who used to beat up Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah, we explained the entire incident of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. So Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali was a khadim-e-khas of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And that's why I mentioned that the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes in RBT, I virtually grew up in the lap of Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So he said, he reprimanded Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali for hitting Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. Of course, he was very, very concerned about the islah of the people and their feelings. And he would console them in a very eloquent manner. We discuss the fatwa that he had issued regarding a person who had been making it in the masjid, and he gave his jewelry to some person to keep while they were in itikaf. And the person went to make wudu, and suddenly when he comes back, the jewelry is missing. And then the question the people ask, who is responsible? The person who was trusted, is he responsible as he has to pay for the jewelry or not? Is it negligence on his part, or is he pardoned? Tanvi Ramadurai was going past that time, and the people asked him the question. So again, I mentioned to you, Hazrat Tanvi Ramadurali did not give an answer immediately. And he said, I don't have my kitabs with me. He didn't find it difficult for somebody to say, he's such a great alim, doesn't know the answer. People expect the alim to know every single answer. So he says, no, let me check up. I don't have my kitab, and I will write back. So he wrote the masala. So happens, he goes to a certain place,
And there he finds some kitab and he sees the answer and he replies. When he, on his return, he had come back and they told him, Hazrat, we had written to us the Gangohi Rahmatullahi. And in his reply, he said the person was not responsible. In your fatwa is that he is responsible, he is zamin, because he was negligent, he should not have just kept it in any place. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi explained the detailed explanation. And so they told Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, when your fatwa came, we send your fatwa to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, who was senior to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. And when Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi read the fatwa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, immediately he retracted his fatwa. And he said, no, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi is correct. Now this is the type of ta'alluq they had, and it came to deen, regardless of who the person may be, lesser in age and in knowledge or whatever, but he would accept his fatwa if he saw it was correct. The love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember I mentioned last week the tabarrukat will come, zamzam, and even anything that came from Medina. He said, the hawa of Medina has touched this topi or tasbih or musalla, and therefore he would relish all this. Even the date pits that would come from Medina, he would crush it, and he would keep it, and he would make it into powder, and he would eat it. He would always give preference to others over himself. To such an extent, somebody asked him for his kurta, he goes and gives him. One of his khadim asked him for his turban, he gives the khadim his turban. And very importantly, as the Gangohi Rahmatullahi would speak very little, only when necessary. Now, this is something all of us need to inculcate. Most of us have the very bad habit of speaking excessively, unnecessarily. From the morning right till now, if we try and remember how much we did not speak, we'll find it difficult. How much we remain silent. Unnecessarily we will say things, and all those things will definitely make our heart hard. And therefore he finds in his life constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent, at night also, eyes open, La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah. Some tasbih he's reading. His conversations, there was no futile talk in that. Even when his khadims were engaging any such talk, or they tried to talk something to him, immediately he would divert the attention. He tried to be as independent as possible, and this is a salient feature amongst most of our mashayikh. Not waiting for somebody to make the khidmat now. If somebody did offer his assistance and he happily came, then Maulana did not chase him away. Then he accepted it. But otherwise, he himself would wake up and he would try to be as independent as possible until very in the end, last part of his life, when he became completely blind and became so difficult for him, then of course, people were making his khidmat and he allowed that. He had a very refined nature. I mentioned that he would bath thumb twice a day because of the heat, and his tabiat made it such that he required to feel more clean, and he, because of his refined nature, it was very, very neat. As far as food is concerned, simple food came. That was generally their lifestyle. But if somebody brought some exotic food, then he would not chase the person away. He would partake of that food. As far as itar is concerned, we mentioned he liked gulab, rose. And he had preference for sweet foods. We mentioned he liked mangoes and guavas. And Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi would never laugh with his mouth wide open. This is exactly the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, today we'll discuss more aspects in the life of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. He would become even more disturbed and restless if a person suffered from spiritual poverty. He would become extremely aggrieved whenever he heard about a person's sinfulness. If somebody was doing some guna and not following Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, Allah would feel the pain. His heart would cry out for such a person. And instead of condemning the person, Mawlana would make dua for this person. He would cry and he would make dua for this person. And he never cursed the worst of his enemies. This is absolutely important for all of us, especially our times. Any small thing, we are cursing every person. If his enemy was afflicted by a natural calamity from Allah Ta'ala, he would never rejoice upon hearing about it. Our hearts, that man who has done wrong to us, and we hate him, he has become our enemy, We wait for some calamity to befall him and we rejoice in our heart. Maulana was so sincere, so genuine, as I mentioned, that when that alim who used to write to him would, you know, nasty letters, indecent language, but he never uttered a single word that would indicate that he considered that person to be his enemy. So when that alim suffered from leprosy, people around Hazrat Maulana began to rejoice, because now he was suffering the consequences of what wrongs he had done to Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. However, when someone related this to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, he said that Maulana has become a leper, he's suffering from leprosy now. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah rose in agitation, he became very, very upset. He said, Mia, we should never become happy over another's misery. We do not know what is recorded in our destiny, our taqdeer. We don't know what's going to be our fate, our end. Now this is something we need to read again and again and again. Many of us get embroiled in unnecessary fitna and we have in our heart hatred for other ulama. We met Maulana who came yesterday after Fajr, he gave the talk, Maulana Muhsin Ahmad Madini Rahmatullah Ali's khadim. What did he say? That people who was Madini Rahmatullah Ali would reprimand them. You say a person who speaks against any alim or harbors some ill feelings, then he can die without iman. May Allah save us. So these are important things for us. Don't get involved. Follow that alim you have got i'tiqad, i'timadin. But there's no need for us now to condemn others, let alone an alim, any other person, any believer. We should refrain from such things. We do not know what is going to be our consequence, our result. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Whilst Hazrat's eyesight was still intact, and he still had teeth, his food used to come from his house. He would sit with his guests, have meal with them. After he lost his eyesight, he started having meals at home. It was difficult for him to go eat with the guests then. But food would be sent outside for the guests. But his concern was whether the guests ate or not. He would first ensure that they had received the food before he would have his own meal. Now this is also this large heartedness they had, the generosity, the fikr for the guests, entertaining the guests, Madini Rahmatullah, I mentioned, daily, between 20 to 40 mehman coming every day. And he would feed each one. So the same thing, Mullah Gangohi Rahmatullah. He would even go outside to inquire from whether everyone had the meal, and nobody was left out. As far as Bayat is concerned, he used to always send people who came for Bayat, said, oh, go to that person, go to that person. There's nothing by me, I don't have anything. He would try his level best to refuse until Haji Imdadul Rahmatullah Ali reprimanded him. He said, when people come, then you got to make them bayat. However, Allah Ta'ala had given these people, we call it firasat, inside nur. And they would make out sometimes that this person who has come, he is not genuine. He's come with an ulterior motive. One occasion, a youngster who appeared to be very capable, he came to Gango, requested bayat to Hazrat. Hazrat replied to him, I will never accept your bayat. So this youngster went to Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah's father, because he is very close to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, to intercede on his behalf. But Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah's intercession was not accepted. Maulana Sheikh Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah received a letter which was filled with vulgar swear words and rude insults. Maulvi Muhammad Yahya Sahib was appointed to receive all Hazrat's letters and to read it out to him. He started reading this letter, but he stopped after one or two lines when he saw the vulgar language in which was contained in it. Hazrat asked, do you know which Buzurg sent this letter? Maulana Gangohi is asking Maulana Yahya, do you know from who this letter came? He replied, Hazrat, I do not know. So Hazrat lowered his tone and he said, it is from this very same person for whom you interceded the day before yesterday. Now he has shown his true colors upon reaching Saharanpur, because he posted the letter from Saharanpur. So he was not genuine. One Maulana, the writer, Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Mirati Rahmatullah Ali says, I'm not going to mention his name, not appropriate to mention his name, but he comes to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. This Maulana notices that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he's sitting by him, neither looks up to him, and did not accord him the honor he expected. This grieved him. When he requested for bay'ah, he did it very half-heartedly. Hazrat refused, saying, "Why are you wasting your time here? I will not make you my murid." As long as this person remained in Gango, he neither spoke to anyone, nor did he open himself up to anyone. After he eventually departed, he said the following about Hazrat Rashid Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, to whoever he met. He said, "Mia, what a waste of time there. He's like a drum which sounds good from a distance. He does not even know that I went to test him. When I saw his true colors, I left. Why should I waste my time becoming his murid?" The fact of the matter is that if he had been accorded the respect and honor which he expected, Hazrat would have been the apple of his eye. Showing affection and kindness to spiritually sick patients is a criteria of proficiency in a physician. If he does not possess this quality, he cannot be a physician. Gangohi Rahmatullah made out that he's got another matlab. Another incident, two people came to the Khanqah. Shook hands with Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah. Sat down. Hazrat said, "Who are you?" He said, "Hazrat, we are your murids." I said, no, you're not my murids." "Hazrat, maybe you forgot us." I said, "No, you're not my murid." They said the same thing, a third time. Again, Hazrat gave the same reply, "You're not my murid. Definitely you're not my murid." These two eventually left the room. They went to another room and they sat with Mawlana Kifayatullah Rahmatullah. And they started speaking to him. While speaking to him, he said, "Mawlana, will we get food here or not?" When he heard this question, Mawlana Kifayatullah became alerted and said, "Mia, this is not a public kitchen where anyone and everyone can come and eat. The guests are all of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah who eat here. Others do not. All praise is due to Allah. These travelers were at least honest and they gave a frank reply. They said, 'Mia, we actually resorted to this ploy, this plan of claiming to be Hazrat Murids with the purpose of having some meal here. But Maulana caught us out.'" So they had this firasat. They knew who is coming genuinely or not. This is another very important incident, you see, that Allah Ta'ala protects His friends. And this is very common amongst the akabir, the people who came, and how Allah Ta'ala inspired them, Allah Ta'ala directed, Allah showed them that this person, you will be careful of him. Once a person arrived and displayed very convincing sincerity and devotion towards Hazrat, and normally the person come, you know, half bending himself before the Shaykh. I normally call this thing spaza. He's only putting up an act. We don't have to do all this takalluf in deen. Do something sincerely. Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who were present were swayed into thinking, he's one of Hazrat's staunch and faithful followers. Must be a khas murid. He presented himself before Hazrat and pleaded a request for bay'at. Hazrat cast him aside, saying, "Go, there's nothing here for you. I will never initiate you as my murid." He started crying and pleaded with Hazrat's close associates, "Please intercede on his behalf." However, everyone who interceded on his behalf was reprimanded. Hazrat said, "I already said I will not accept him as my murid. Tell him not to remain here." Now this was very unlike of Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah to behave in this way. He never did things like this before. He would entertain the person, look, check for about his well-being, feeding the people. Here he's saying, he must not even remain here. Tell him not to remain here. And he must make his own arrangements for his meals. If he does not go, carry him out, throw all his goods out with him. If somebody just sees this much, think, what is wrong with this chair? Those who were present felt aggrieved by Hazrat's unusual treatment of this person. However, they had no option but to carry out his orders. They carried the traveler's goods out of the Khanka and said to him, "You will not receive any food from Hazrat's house." The traveler did not stop displaying his affinity for Hazrat even after this treatment. He cried and said, "No matter what, I will most certainly pledge bay'ah." Hakim Muhammad Yusuf Sahab felt very sorry for the person, took him to his place, seated him, consoled him, saying, "Don't worry, I'll intercede on your behalf when I get the opportunity. And I'll get you to become Hazrat's murid." Following this Hakim Muhammad Yusuf went to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And before he could even utter a word, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah said, "Where's that musafir? Where's the traveler? Why did you accommodate him? Organize transport for him and send him off now." Yusuf couldn't say anything. He departed silently and decided to try again later. After Asr, he went to Hazrat again. Before he could utter a word, Hazrat said, I already told you before, why did you not send him off? Hakim Sahib replied in a subdued tone, Hazrat, how can we send off a guest in such a way? Hazrat turned his face and said, what fellowship? Hakim Sahib returned to his place without a sound and found his guest with a book in which he was busy writing something. The moment Hakim Sahib entered this room and this person realized that he was approaching, he shut the book very hastily, wrapped it in his juzdan, and he suspended it around his neck. This placed Hakim Sahib on guard. He started thinking of how he could get hold of this juzdan. What was this person writing? It was not easy for him to just take a look at the book, which this traveler was safely protecting around his neck. So he engaged him in a conversation throughout the night, until when he was overcome by sleep, and he lost all his consciousness, in other words, he was fast asleep, then Hakim Yusuf got up saying, very well, you may continue sleeping. And this traveler was fast asleep, deep sleep. Hakim Sahib removed the juzdan from around his neck, carried it to a lamp, opened it. He saw some writing in English. Imagine, English, Persian, Urdu, Arabic. One page he saw a note which was addressed to one of the British governors. Amongst other things, it contained the following. For the sake of the government, the British government, I did not even bother about my iman, let alone my life. Unfortunately, I was not received as I ought to have been received. He was a spy. Hakim Sahib trembled with fear when he read the statement. He closed the book, placed it in the juzdan, hung it around the traveler's neck, and went outside. The moment dawn broke, he made transport arrangements, went to this traveler, said to him, your transport is ready, you may leave now. You will reach your destination early. The traveler realized that his plot had been exposed whilst he was fast asleep. Therefore, he did not say anything. He placed his bedding under his arm, got up, lowered his head, and meekly departed. Hakim Sahib then presented himself to Hazrat Gangohi Ramatullahi. Hazrat smiled. In a low tone, he said, I told you at the outset to send him off, but you did not listen to me. There are countless other incidents of this nature where Hazrat had flatly refused bayat. Later on, it became evident that these people were unworthy of it. Even bayat is not a joke. It's a serious thing. Many times a person has some problem, and because of that some problem he has, he thinks, let me just take bayat, and things will come right. That's not the correct thing. Bayat is for islah. Islah of the nafs, the heart, to gain some ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as accepting gifts, here again, as the Gangohi Ramatullahi was extremely particular. Of course, it is sunnah to accept gifts, but they had their reasons. And we found Hazrat adopting different attitudes when he came to accepting gifts from even his associates. He would gladly accept gifts from some people and flatly refuse such gifts from others. In fact, when some needy khadim offered him a gift, he would at first refuse, saying, I don't need it. You are in need of it. You should rather use it for yourself. However, if he saw this person felt very dejected because of this refusal, and on the verge of crying, then he would accept the gift and keep it next to him. So basically he was careful, and with the person, there was no need for the person to give a gift. He did not take it. Mother Gangohi Ramatullahi was not averse to the unexpected arrival of things. The mark of a mutawakkil, one who places his full trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he never refuses anything which he receives without having sought it. But he never had a desire, he never pursued something, and then it came, he realized it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll accept it. This is because one can never be independent of a bounty from Allah ta'ala at any time. Obviously, if he does not receive it, he should not hanker after it. Imam Rabbani, as a Gangohi Ramatullahi, possessed this quality to a lofty extent, rarely seen in others. Although the majority of his attendants and associates would have done anything for him, they'd give their life for him, one would not find a single incident in which he asked any of them for anything, nor did he ever desire anything and express his need for it to them so that they could assist him in obtaining it. At the same time, if of his own accord anyone brought something to him with sincerity, open-heartedness, he would never refuse it. He would accept it happily and make the giver happy as well. Rasulullah ﷺ has instructed us to accord due respect to respected, honorable people in society. Hadith of Rasulullah, Anzir nasa manazilahum. So this applies especially to those who are part of the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ. If we have to present an example of one of these rulers and governors of states who pledge bay'at at the hands of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, one such person was a governess, female of Bhopal, Nawab Sultan Jahan Begum. So she is the governess of Bhopal. Together with worldly authority, position and regal power, Allah had blessed her with deeni honor and dignity. She was a pious woman. And the fruit of her love for the poor and righteous was that 1 year after she ascended the throne, when she became the governor, she was blessed with the honor of bay'at to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah. But the whole incident is like this. From the time she became the governess, she was in search of a Sheikh Kamil. She had planned to pledge bayat at the hands of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. He was in Makkah at that time. She was unable to travel to Makkah. So she could not undertake the journey as soon as she would have liked to. In the meantime, when she's still desiring to take bayat to him and to find the time to go to Makkah to take bayat to him, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi passed away. From amongst his khulafa, she felt no affinity towards anyone other than Hazrat Imam Rabbani Rahmatullahi. And this is also, Hazrat Hakim Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi, say, by blood group. Your blood group must meet your sheikh, the murid, and the sheikh must have some common blood group. So it's sometimes ajib. He can be a greatest wali, but every person's heart is not inclined to him, to take him as a sheikh. They respect him, they love him, but not take him as a sheikh. So here, she was feeling that I need to take bayat to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. As per his habit, Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah Ali, Gangohi Rahmatullah, refused her request at first. Imagine, governors of Bhopal. If somebody asked me like that, okay, I also refuse everybody. I'm not even worthy of giving bayat, but imagine here, you got the whole Bhopal. And in his reply to her request, he undertook a subtle test of the sincerity of her talab to see how genuine she is. The fortunate and chaste woman's talab was a genuine and determined talab. So, the beginning of Rabi'u Thani, 1323, Hazrat had a very close murid, Maulana Qazi Muhyiddin of Muradabad. And he was the judge of Bhopal. So he arrived in Gangoh, representing this governess of Bhopal. She wants to take bayat. He comes to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi on her behalf. Prior to this, Hazrat already received 2 consecutive requests from her, which she sent via Mir Mansab, Ali Saab Munchi. Hazrat's reply was in actual fact, a test of a talab. So what was the letter? It says, from this servant, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, may Allah pardon him, Assalamu Alaikum. This servant is astonished. I make dua for you. I receive your letter containing a request for bay'ah, which you had sent via Nawab Sultan Jahan Begum several days ago. However, due to my old age and various ailments, I become quite weak. This was right at the end of his life. Furthermore, I was hesitant in replying to your esteemed letter, and thus I did not take the opportunity to reply to it. Now, I have received another letter from you requesting a reply. Something for us to understand. Sometimes a person, many people write letters. It's not necessary to reply to every letter. Believe me, at this very moment, I have also received some letter, and the person is just testing me. So I will not reply, inshallah. May Allah protect us from people who cause fitna. So people will check. Sometimes they'll ask 10 people, They got the answer. They're fishing out. They want one person to give an answer to suit their own fancies and whims. So it's not necessary to answer to every masala, every question also. You will see who the person is, why he's asking you. Of course, you don't have to be rude and things like that. But Gongira, when the first request, he didn't answer. He didn't reply to her. Second letter came, now he replies. And he says, I shall now dictate the reply. A person pledges bi'ah for two reasons. He explained to her why a person takes bi'ah. Number one, inshallah, we finish after this incident. To acquire nisbat. Nisbat, it means affinity. And obtain the blessings of the tariqah. So, you get the blessings of all these mashayikh, right to Rasulullah SAW. In order to acquire this, a person needs to remain in the company of a spiritual guide for a lengthy period. It is obvious that I cannot come there to Bhopal. Nor will it be appropriate for her to come here because she is a female. Without this, bayat is a waste of time. The second reason, the other reason for bayat is to establish a bond with the buzurg. And this is done solely to enter into the silsila, the spiritual chain. First of all, I do not consider this of any benefit. Secondly, the governess will look upon me with affection, kindness and attention, and this will cause me much regret. When people come to know of the governess affiliation with me, that she is my murid, many needy people will start to harass me into interceding on their behalf, asking me to ask her for assistance. Some of those requests for intercession will be worthy, while others will be wholly unworthy. Fourthly, if the governess already has affinity towards me, she would already have fulfilled the second purpose of bay'ah. If the governess insists, I will accept, but I will do so on two conditions. Number one, there must be no change in her previous attitude towards me. In other words, she must not accord me any more respect than before becoming bay'ah to me. There must be no sort of favoritism towards me. Now, imagine, these are the real akabir. This is the annihilation of their nafs. That look at, if she takes bay'ah to me, she must not favor me. Number two, the bond of bay'ah must not be mentioned to anyone. So she must be silent about her having taken bay'ah to me. If these two conditions are accepted, then I accept her bay'ah on the order that she must make it her hallmark to emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and abstain from all bid'ah. Moreover, she must remain engaged in love for the truth and establishing justice amongst her subjects, because she's governor. Wassalam. The reply to the above letter was brought to Hazrat by Qazi Muhyiddin. Now, the reply came. She's saying, to His Excellence, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahab, may Allah perpetuate His blessings. Assalamu alaikum. I received a distinguished letter through Muti Sayyid Mansab Ali Mansab, through Munshi Sayyid Mansab Ali. And he replied to it, presented to Hazrat via Muhammad Muhyiddin Ahmad Sahab, the judge of Bhopal. My request will be conveyed via Mansab Ali and the verbal request of Qadi Sahab, inshallah. I will most certainly benefit from Hazrat's blessings with respect, that is all. As well as she was ready to fulfill whatever conditions he placed. It was the governess's good fortune that after visiting the Haramain, she was able to attach herself to the noble personage of Imam Rabbani, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. This happened only just 2 months before his demise. Had there been an 8-week delay, she would have to express the same regret which she had when Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh passed away. However, Allah Ta'ala had already willed for her, for this esteemed governess, to be blessed with the eternal spiritual affiliation together with the worldly wealth and position which Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon her. She could not bear the thought of this deprivation, and for that reason she repeatedly wrote to Hazrat until he finally accepted her bay'ah through Qazi Sahab. This happened on the 5th or 6th of Rabiul Thani. Hazrat passed away in the same year on the 8th of Jumada Thaniya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much more inshallah. Next week Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to continue. Beautiful aspects in their lives for us to learn. Whether you're an alim, whether you're a student, whether you're a talib, seeker. Yes, important things which we normally don't even consider as important. Our mind does not even go to these things. And you can see how independent they were. But they were the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tawakkul i'tamad upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though the governess wants to take bayah, and she became his murida also, it didn't affect him. His ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala is so strong. The nazar, the nigah was never on any aspect of the dunya. Never. Not name, not fame, not wealth, not anything. And Allah Ta'ala protected him. Yes, they all made mistakes. Nobody's infallible. Nobody's infallible. They had the errors and mistakes that they made, for which they make tawbah, istighfar. Sometimes they did something which we term as their hal, their condition. So sometimes we say, you know, but he did not. So if he's not in accordance with sunnah, we will not follow that hal. We follow Quran and sunnah. That is number one. But generally we find in these people's lives, they kept to sunnah. They would make some error here and there, error in judgment. Sometimes they were maghloob of the hal they had. Those things we don't have to follow. What we have to follow is Quran, hadith, sunnah, but we look in their lives. Now and then you'll find one or two incidents that they had a hal in them. The rest of the time, even the eating, the sleeping, the mannerisms, 24/7, whole life, Allah Allah. Ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. It is not impossible in this day and age also. With all our shortcomings, with all our weaknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got different darajat of wilayat for his awliya. Everybody is not on the same level. Everybody is not on the same level. Anbiya alayhi musallat, Allah says, we mustn't compare the Anbiya, of course, Nabi Akrim, some of the greatest. But we can't say second is this Nabi. Tilka rusulu faddalna ba'duhum ala ba'd. Allah says, these rasuls, we have given some fazal over others. But all are Anbiya. All are Allah Ta'ala's messengers. All are great. All are ma'asum, sinless. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu number one. Because of various ahadith, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Usman Ghani, then Ali radiallahu anhu, then the rest of the Ashar Mubashara, and then he goes on. Then ulama have explained then the next hadith. But for us, all of them are sahaba, guiding stars. Awliya Allah, you'll find that the rank varies. Some were higher, but all are friends of Allah. But even if our name is right in the end, and if Allah says, okay, I'll include him and her as my wali, that is all we want. Imagine being the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran, if you look at verses of Quran, it's just that we don't ponder over who is a friend of Allah? Who is a believer? What are his qualities? And we think of wali, we think of something so far-fetched, it's impossible to get it. Maybe you need a broomstick to be flying in the sky and perform karamats. And we say, hey, he's a buzrug, man. He just knew before I could say anything. There is no buzrug. Half the time I'm doing that thing. I know what a big sinner I am. There's we chancing. Allah Ta'ala put something in you. Doesn't mean you're a buzrug. Or some karamat that you perform. Doesn't mean a person is following the sunnah of Rasulullah. Look at his akhlaq. Look at his dealings. Look at his ibadat. And his own private life. And then you understand that this person is, yes, his ta'aluk was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make all of us have that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must become a strong bond. That inshallah when we pass away, Allah, also I keep on saying that how Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, that bird came into his coffin and they heard, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan marudiyya. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. But once Allah gives us that you have passed, that's all we want. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين